Your heart. The Bible says if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will desire of your heart. So this is the time, as we sing our final song, I want to invite you, if you need prayer this morning, if you have a need in your life, I want you to know that the Lord wants to meet that need. He desires to supply that need. Our God is a healer. When Jesus walked the earth, He did healings and miracles. And the Bible says that He hasn't changed. He's still the same. If you need healing in your body, I would like to pray for you. I believe the Lord's healing power will restore your health today. If you have a financial need, let me tell you, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. If you need strength, direction, wisdom, whatever it is that you're facing today, you need the Lord's help. I want you to come right now and let us pray for you. And I want the Connect Group leaders to help me today. I want the Connect Group leaders to come and pray with me today. And if you need prayer, please don't be shy. Just come out right now. You might even be here for the first time today. That's okay. The Lord loves you. We love you. We want to pray for you. You don't have to be embarrassed. We're not going to embarrass you. Just slip out and come and stand right here at the front if you need prayer. And as you do that, we're going to sing our final song this morning. It's called Hearing the Presence. It's one of my favorite songs. And I want to encourage you, church, to sing along and to get lost in the presence of God with us this morning. Get caught up in God's presence. Forget about everything else right now. Put everything else out of your mind and just focus your attention on worshiping the Lord. Here in His presence. We are in His presence this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship Him. If you need prayer, come right now. We're going to pray. Yes, Lord. We worship Him. We worship Him.
Here in the blue. Church is God's idea. It was a man's idea. It's the first thing that happens after Jesus rises from the dead and he ascends to heaven. The Holy Spirit comes and then the church is formed. And so all over the world today, people are meeting in local churches to worship God together. And that is God's plan. And there's something that happens. There's a corporate anointing. There's the presence of God that happens. And, you know, we were praying before the service. We pray from 9:15 to 9:45 in the morning. And we really pray that for each one of you, as you step through these doors, that, you know, scales fall from our eyes, that the eyes of our heart are open, that, you know, the Bible says where the Holy Spirit is, there is liberty and freedom. And I really believe that in this place there's freedom. There's freedom for us to hear from God. It's freedom for us to receive whatever it is we need, whether it's peace, whether it's answers. You know, you'll notice, I love the way the Holy Spirit works, because you'll notice as the pastor preaches this morning, you'll get answers. You'll feel like it's speaking to you, because really it is God speaking to us through his word. So we have a great anticipation when we gather together. Amen?
Amen.
And we love you. You know, just to get a chance to chat. Whenever we have someone new, someone was saying to me this morning, they really, really enjoy this church. And I said, well, the people are so amazing. And it's so wonderful to get to know each of you. Mom-in-law was saying to me that Connect Group on Wednesday night, she said, we had the most incredible time on Wednesday because we just feel like we're family. And that's the way it's meant to be. Amen? But it's good to be in church with you this morning. And we want to welcome those who are watching online. We're glad you've joined us. Sometimes people have to be out of town and they watch, or they're out of the country. We're so glad that you joined us. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We met a few first-time visitors this morning. And if you are here, I don't know how you came, whether you saw an advert or whether somebody invited you, but we don't believe anything is by accident. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, that God's directing our steps, right? And so we pray that you'll enjoy this service, but we want to just recognize you. If you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can give you a gift bag right where you're sitting, a visitor pack. Anyone here for the first time today? God bless you. Welcome. Just keep it up until our usher sees you. We have our young ushers. Wonderful. Anyone else just if they didn't see? Thank you so much. And in that visitor pack, it's a couple of things. One is the teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. And there's a white card. If you just take a moment, fill that out. And at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. If you just drop that card in, gives the pastor an opportunity to call you and find out if you enjoyed the service. So thank you so much. Did you have a good week?
Yeah.
We had a good week. I'm exhausted. We had my son, many of you know Luke, who used to lead worship, and Francesca, you remember Luke, right?
Oh, yeah.
And their little boy is a year old, and they had to go on a ministry trip to London for a week, and they asked if we'd have Roman. So it was so hard, and it was so wonderful. I was like, when he went to sleep, I just like passed out. I don't know how we ever had four kids, but it was so good. You don't have that picture, do you, Dad? Do you? That's in there. That's Luke and Roman. So we had fun with him this week. Didn't we, dear? Me more than you. Thanks.
All right. Praise God. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're glad you're here this morning. And we're glad, I know there's a lot of people watching online. Last Sunday we had 45 people in Florida watching online. So I'm glad you are watching today. But if you're in Florida, we hope you'll come and be here and sit in church. Right? Glad you're watching. Don't misunderstand me. That's good. I really believe it's great to be here, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. How are you doing there, Dan? Dan, what's happening?
No, we're good.
We are?
We are good.
All right. Good, good. Are you ready for the Word of God this morning?
Yes.
Does anyone think to bring their Bible with them to church?
Yes.
Anyone brought their Bible to church? Any Bibles here today? I think we need to pray over this place. They had a Halloween party here last night. You know that? They had a Halloween party here. Did you hear about it? So I just thank you, Lord, for your presence all over this place today. Whatever happened last night is not going to affect us in any way this morning. That we're going to have an even better service than normal this morning. What do you say? Right? Praise God. I want to ask you, if you have your Bible, to turn with me. My foundation text this morning is found in Proverbs chapter 4. In Proverbs chapter 4. I want to ask you to read with me Proverbs 4. I want to speak about feed your future. About feeding your future. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, I'm going to read this from the Passion translation. And this is how it reads. It says, "Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say." Now, how many of you know that as we read this, it is Solomon writing, but really it's God speaking to us. That's how you've got to read this. It's God talking to you. And God is saying, listen carefully to everything I teach you. Pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words. God says we should fill our thoughts with his words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. It says, so above all, say above all.
Above all.
Above all. Now that's quite a statement, above all. Above everything else, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the wellness of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. And the New Living Translation, verse 23, says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The Bible says you've got to be very careful about what you fill your mind with, what thoughts you dwell upon, what you allow into your heart. You've got to guard your heart, because whatever you allow into your heart is going to determine the course of your life.
Amen. Amen.
Sherry, where did Rick go? Just checking. Now, we may not realize it, but do you know that we're always feeding ourselves? I'm not talking physically. I'm talking spiritually. Do you know what you watch and the things that you listen to? The people that you are around? The thoughts that you dwell on? That's all feeding your inner man. If you go to lunch with people and they talk bad about the boss, or they make fun of a co-worker, or they put down a friend, they are feeding you gossip, jealousy, disrespect. And you know, whatever you feed is going to grow. You may not like what they're feeding you. You may be a nice person. But if you continue to hang around them and you let them feed you that, then guess what? Before long, you'll be gossiping. You'll be critical toward other people. Don't shout me down, because I'm preaching good today.
Yeah.
Now, you see, if you let people feed you the wrong things, if you're always feeding on negative thoughts, if you're always thinking, well, I'm never going to get well, I'm never going to meet the right person, I'm never going to rise above this problem, then you're feeding on doubt, fear, mediocrity. In fact, a man told me how he spent years of his life. He spent years on drugs and alcohol. And that ruined his marriage. He wasn't there for his children. And now he was really down on himself. He was so discouraged. What was he doing? He was feeding the guilt. Feeding the regret. Feeding the blame. See, if you feed guilt, it gets bigger. If you feed fear, it becomes larger.
What if you spent that same energy feeding your faith, feeding your hopes, feeding your dreams? Yes, Father, I know I've made mistakes, but I thank you that your mercy is bigger than any mistake. I thank you, Lord, that I'm forgiven. I thank you, Lord, that I've been cleansed. See, quit feeding the negative and start feeding your faith. What are you allowing into your spirit? The people you're spending time with, the thoughts that you dwell on all day. Is it inspiring you? Is it building your faith? Is it pushing you toward your dreams? Or is it junk food? Some of us are more careful about the food we put in our mouth, our physical food. Sometimes we're careful about that, but sometimes we're not careful about what we allow into our spirit. You see, are you feeding on things that are feeding you guilt and negativity, causing you to compromise? I heard about someone that was diagnosed with a serious illness, and so their doctor put them on a very strict diet. There were a lot of, they couldn't eat any sugar, they couldn't eat any flour, couldn't eat any meat. Really, it was only raw vegetables, nuts, grains. It was a very limited diet. And someone asked this person if he was going to do it, if he's going to follow the diet. And he replied, he said, "What do you mean? Am I going to do it? I don't have a choice. My life depends on it. Yeah. I have to do it. Today, I'm putting you on a new diet. Not physically, but for your inner man. No more junk food. No more dwelling on thoughts of worry, fear, I don't have what it takes. No more hanging around people that are feeding you negativity, that are causing you to compromise. No more guilt, condemnation. I'm all washed up. Your prescription is for faith food. I want you to feed your faith. Feed your hopes. Feed your dreams. Feed your confidence. Feed your destiny. Feed your future." Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not very talented. I don't have a good personality. I'm not as attractive as my friend. Quit feeding the insecurity. That's not on your diet. Your diet is to feed what God says about you. Amen. To dwell on what God says about you. Do you know what God says about you? In Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Say, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made." That's what God says about you. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Say, "I am a masterpiece." God says you're His masterpiece. Genesis 1 verse 26, "Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So you've got to, that's what you've got to dwell on. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm one of a kind. I'm a masterpiece. I'm made in the image and likeness of God. You see, when you feed your value will get stronger. If you're dealing with an illness, instead of dwelling on thoughts and saying things like, "I don't think I'm ever going to get well. I've had it for so long. The medical report, oh, it doesn't look good." No, you're feeding the wrong things. That's what's allowing that sickness to grow. You've got to turn it around. You've got to rather feed on what God says. What does God say? Jeremiah 30 verse 17. The word of God says, "I will restore health to you. I will restore health to you. And healing of your wounds, says the Lord." The Lord says He'll restore your health. Exodus 23, 26 says, "I will fulfill the number of your days." Thank you, Lord, you're restoring my health. Thank you, Lord, you're fulfilling the number of my days. 1 Peter 2, 24 says, "By whose stripes you were healed." Thank you, Lord. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. How many of you know if I had been healed, then I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I is healed.
Amen.
You're going to feed on that. You're going to confess that. You feed your faith like that. And you know what's happening? The doubt gets weaker and weaker. And before long, you'll starve the doubt as you feed your faith. You know, I had some flowers in my backyard. And one summer, it was very dry. And the sprinkler system couldn't keep up.
And every afternoon I'd go out and I'd water those flowers with my hose pipe because I didn't want them to die. And about 40 feet away over in the corner, there were a bunch of weeds, a couple of feet tall. I noticed a couple of weeks later that all those weeds had died off because they didn't have any water, but my flowers were just as beautiful as can be. You see, what you don't feed will eventually die. We may all have some weeds in our life today. See, we all have weeds in our life. Weeds of guilt, weeds of negativity. But don't be alarmed by the weeds. Just don't make the mistake. Don't water the weeds. Amen. Don't feed the weeds. Amen. Don't give them any energy. Don't let them take up any space in your mind. Because what you quit watering will eventually go away. If you came over to my backyard and you saw me watering my weeds, I mean, you'd probably think to yourself, what's wrong with that man? That doesn't make any sense. He's watering something he doesn't want. You see, are you watering what you don't want in your life? Are you feeding what you don't want in your life? Let me tell you, the enemy's main tool is deception. He would love for you to go through life watering the weeds. What do I mean? I mean spending your time dwelling on fear, thinking on thoughts of fear, or doubt, or insecurity, or focusing on mistakes of the past. Listen, don't fall into that trap. When the thoughts come to your mind, there's nothing good in your future. It's all downhill from here. Instead of watering that weed, instead of feeding that discouragement, you need to turn the hose the other way around and water what God says about you. Yeah. Feed on what God says about you. God says in Proverbs 4, verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. And the Passion Translation says it like this, but the lovers of God walk on the highway of life, and their way shines brighter and brighter until they bring forth the perfect day. My path is getting brighter and brighter. Amen. The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. I'm going to feed on that. Psalm 5, verse 12. Let me tell you something else God says about you. He says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. I am surrounded by the favor of God. Everywhere I go, I have God's favor around me. So people like me. People want to bless me. People want to do good to me. They don't even understand why. It's because I'm surrounded by God's favor, which draws affection and goodwill. Yeah. Amen. You need to declare that. Say, thank you, Lord. Come on, say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That my path is getting brighter and brighter.
Thank
you, Lord. That I am surrounded by your favor. Instead of feeding the doubt, oh, I'm just stuck here, nothing's ever going to change. No, feed your faith. I'm coming out of this. God always causes me to triumph. This too shall pass away. This didn't come to stay, this came to pass. Are you with me? Whatever you're feeding is getting stronger. So you don't feed what you don't want. Maybe you've had some bad breaks in life. Maybe things haven't turned out the way that you hoped. You can easily be discouraged. But don't feed the self-pity. Don't water what didn't work out. Quit reliving the hurts of the past. Listen, you can't feed your history and feed your future at the same time.
Amen.
You can't feed your history and feed your destiny at the same time. If you're using all your energy to feed your past, you're not going to have the energy you need to feed your future. See, what's happened to you is over and done. How you were raised, what you didn't get, who hurt you, who you lost. I say it respectfully, but that's history. That's behind you. You cannot go into a new season if you're always looking back at the old. Those doors are closed. It may not have been fair, but let me tell you, God is fair, and He knows how to make it up to you. But you've got to let go of what didn't work out. You're going to quit putting energy into negative things of the past. If you're feeding the hurts, the offenses, the betrayals, the disappointments. It's just like you watering resentment, watering bitterness, and watering discouragement. The way to get past it is you've got to starve it. You've got to quit dwelling on it. You've got to quit thinking about what you didn't get. You've got to quit thinking about who hurt you, how you can prove to them that they shouldn't have left you. No, if you put that same energy into your destiny, believing for new beginnings, expecting God's favor, then God promises He'll give you beauty for the ashes. He'll make up for the wrongs. You don't have to pay anybody back. God will be your vindicator. Yeah. Listen. Amen. We all go through things in life that are not fair. Jesus said in Luke 17, in verse 1, He said it is impossible that no offenses should come. In other words, offenses are going to come. We are all going to have the opportunity to get offended. We're all going to have the opportunity to get our feelings hurt. Offenses will come. Betrayals, bad breaks, loss, things we don't understand will come. And it's painful enough when they happen. But if you make the mistake of feeding the offense, of feeding the hurt, then it's going to continue to be painful, because you can't get well if you are always reopening the wounds, reliving the negative. That's making it worse. And sometimes, yes, it can feel good to our flesh to hold on to the hurt, to hold on to the self-pity. You might have a valid reason to feel that way. Somebody did you wrong. You came down with an illness. You got laid off at work. But when you are feeding the past, you're putting energy into something that's taking you backwards. Amen. It's tempting to hold on. Sometimes you wake up and it's on the forefront of your mind. But you've got to ask yourself, am I going to keep watering those weeds? Or am I going to keep putting energy into something that's taking me in the wrong direction? You know, in the scriptures, the prophet Samuel, he went through a great disappointment. He had chosen a young man to become king of Israel. His name was Saul. He was the first king of Israel. He was a very outstanding man. He was very tall. He was a head and shoulders taller than everybody. And he was very good looking. And Samuel had great affection for Saul. He took him under his wing. Really, he treated him like his own son. He trained him. He mentored him. And Saul did well as king for a few years. But then he got off course. And he made mistakes. He wouldn't obey God. And finally, God rejected Saul as being king. And Saul lost the throne. And Samuel was so discouraged. He had invested years of his life trying to help Saul. And now it looked like it was a waste of time. So as Samuel was sitting around heartbroken, feeding the discouragement and feeding the pity, the self-pity, God said this to him. In 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" God was saying, how long are you going to feed your history? How long are you going to put energy into something that's taking you in the wrong direction? And yes, there is a season of mourning when you go through a loss. You go through a disappointment. You don't have to be superhuman where you never feel anything. You never have a down moment. But family, you can't let a season of mourning turn into a lifetime of mourning. At some point, you've got to say, yes, I'm disappointed. Yes, I'm hurt. My prayer didn't get answered the way I hoped. But this is a new day. And I'm not feeding my history anymore. I'm letting go of what didn't work out. I'm not dwelling on all of my past disappointments. I'm not reliving my hurts. I am putting my energy into my destiny. I'm getting ready for the new things that God has in store. Amen. Amen. You know, the Lord went on to tell Samuel this in 1 Samuel 16. Let me read the rest of verse 1. He said, "How long will you mourn for Saul?" He said, "Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. Because I'm sending you to Jesse's house. I'm sending you to the house of Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king. Now listen, if you will quit looking backwards, and if you will quit mourning over what didn't work out, God is going to send you to the house of Jesse. God has a new beginning. God has a new relationship. God has a new dream. God has a new door. Just because Saul didn't work out, that doesn't mean it's over. God has a David. God has another plan. Not something secondary where he says, well, huh, this is all I had, you know, too bad, just take this. No, David was the greatest king who ever lived. And you might have gone through an unfair situation, maybe something that took the wind out of you, but I want to tell you, it was not a surprise to God. God knows every setback. He knows every disappointment. And he's already got a David lined up for you. Your greatest joy, your greatest victory, your greatest accomplishments are still in your future. I believe that, family. I believe your greatest days are still in front of you. But suppose Samuel had continued mourning, and he continued putting energy into his past, and he continued feeding that disappointment. Maybe he wouldn't have anointed David. Maybe God would have sent someone else to Jesse's house. Maybe Samuel would have faded off into the sunset, defeated and discouraged. You see, are you putting energy into your past? Are you feeding your history? Because God is saying to you today, fill your horn and be on your way. What that means is get your passion back. Get in God's presence. Put a smile on your face. Keep on moving forward. You're about to come to the house of Jesse. You thought it was over and done, but God still has a David. God still has something more rewarding than you ever imagined in your life.
Amen.
Amen. I talked to one lady. She'd been married over 20 years, and then her husband met another woman, and suddenly he decided he didn't want to be married to her anymore. Without any warning, he moved out, he ended the marriage. She was so heartbroken, she couldn't understand why this had happened. And 2 years later, she was still so upset. And I said to her, I'm telling you, you can't keep feeding your history. Don't feed the betrayal, don't feed the hurt. It's taking you the wrong direction. And let me tell you, family, if somebody left you, you've got to recognize their part in your story is over.
Yes.
If they walked away, you don't need them to fulfill your purpose, your destiny. If you needed them, God wouldn't have let them leave. But if you live thinking you can't be happy now because they got remarried, they moved on, then you're going to miss the new things that God has in store for you. Why don't you just accept it is accepted as God is closing the door. Just like God rejected King Saul. Sometimes God puts an end to things that we don't understand. Don't put a question mark where God put a period. Don't keep mourning over something that you cannot change. Always thinking about it. Always wondering, why didn't it work out? Why did that door close? Why did I lose my loved one? I can't tell you why. But I can tell you, if you will fill your horn with oil, and if you will be on your way, that there is a house of Jesse that God has ordained for you, and you're going to come into a new season of joy and fulfillment like you've never seen in your life, family. I saw this lady a few years after we spoke, and she had this handsome man by her side. She looked so beautiful, so radiant, like a different person. And she told how they recently got married. And she was happier than she'd ever been in her life. She went on and on about what an amazing man he was. What happened? She quit mourning. And God sent her to the house of Jesse. You see, when you quit putting your energy into your history, and you start putting it into your future and your destiny, then God will give you beauty for the ashes. God will pay you back for the unfair situation. And let me tell you, that person that left you, no offense to them, but they're a weed.
Yeah.
Quit watering the weed.
Amen.
Quit thinking about the weed. This is a new season. God has divine connections lined up for you, family. Instead of feeding the hurt, feed your faith.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that my latter days are going to be better than my former days. I thank you that what was meant for my harm, you're using for my advantage. If you feed your future, God will make up for the wrongs. Can you say amen? In fact, in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7, it says, because you've got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt, your inheritance of the land will be doubled and your joy will go on forever. That's my prayer for you, family. My prayer is that not only will you see double restored to you, but that you will be more happier and more fulfilled than you've ever been in your life. That your joy will go on forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 1, the apostles came together to choose a replacement for Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. And the Bible says in Acts 1 verse 23, so they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas. Barsabbas, is that how you say it? Barsabbas. Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. And they all prayed. They said, Lord, you know every heart. Show us which of these men you've chosen as apostle to replace Judas in this ministry, for he has deserted us and gone where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to become an apostle with the other 11. Now, you got to always think about how did Barsabbas feel? How do you say it?
Barsabbas.
How did Barsabbas feel? I mean, this was an incredible opportunity. The 12 apostles would have their names written on the foundations of the New Jerusalem. They would forever be esteemed and respected and honored. And Barsabbas got so close. I mean, he almost became one of the 12 apostles. He could have gotten discouraged. He could have gotten bitter. He could have dropped out. But instead of feeling his history, instead of dwelling on what didn't work out, he let it go. And he kept on feeding his destiny. Because you know how I know that? In Acts chapter 2, it says they were all together in one accord, in one place. That means that Barsabbas wasn't there with a bad attitude. He didn't have a chip on his shoulder. He kept on moving forward. And let me tell you, when you go through a disappointment, something that didn't work out, you're going to do like Barsabbas. Don't feed the negative. Don't sit around thinking, oh, I missed my big opportunity. No, God knows what he's doing, and sometimes he will close doors that we think should be open. Yeah. Maybe you didn't get the promotion. You worked so hard for it. Maybe you didn't qualify for the loan on that new house, or maybe a relationship didn't work out. Listen, that's in the past. God put a period. That's history. Keep on moving forward. Keep on feeding your faith. Keep on feeding your dreams. At the right time, God will open a better door for you. Amen. You see, if you're going to feed your destiny, you've got to be careful who you spend time with. Because if you associate with the wrong people, they can feed you doubt, negativity, gossip. See, you're going to become like the people you hang around. You're going to make sure they have what you want. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33, don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. The Living Bible says don't be fooled by those who say such things. If you listen to them, you'll start acting like them. Amen. Let me tell you, there are people in prison today because of the people they hang around with. They wouldn't be there today if they didn't hang around with those friends. If the people you hang around with are negative, critical, they compromise, they don't have integrity, they're feeding you the wrong things. That's not on your diet. Let me tell you, life is too short to hang around people that are causing you to compromise, pulling you down. Your time is too valuable to waste it with people that don't have a dream, people that aren't going anywhere. And you don't have to make some big announcement to them. Pastor Steve told me I shouldn't hang around you anymore. Don't leave me out of it, please. Just little by little. You just start spending less and less time with them, little by little. Well, Steve, what if I hurt their feelings? What if they get upset with me?
What if you miss your destiny?
Amen.
What if they're keeping you from going to the next level in your life? Because let me tell you, when you come to the end of your life, you're not going to stand before people.
Yeah.
You're going to stand before God.
Yes.
And He's entrusted you with a gift. You have an assignment.
Yeah.
There is something from God that God wants you to accomplish in your life.
Yes.
You have a responsibility to become who God created you to be. You're not here by accident.
Yeah.
And you have to take bold steps to protect what you're feeding. Those co-workers that are negative and critical, instead of going to lunch with them every day, the right attitude is, I love you, but I'm not going to hang around you because you're feeding me doubt, negativity, gossip, and that's not on my diet.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't want to rock the boat.
Yeah.
We think if we make changes, we won't have any friends. The truth is, you may be lonely for a season, but I can tell you right now, God will give you new friends, better friends, people who will push you up, not pull you down. But if you don't get rid of the wrong people, you'll never meet the right people. You should surround yourself with people that inspire you, challenge you, people that make you better. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, before the Israelites went into battle, it's very interesting what God said to the leaders. God said to them in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, the officers will also say, is anyone here afraid or worried? If you are, you may go home before you frighten anybody else. You see, God knew that their fear would spread. And it would keep them from the victory. Do you know the people around you are contagious? What they have, over time, you're going to catch it. That's why the scripture says in Proverbs 22, verse 24, don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul.
Amen.
If you hang around hot-tempered people, guess what will happen? You become angry and hot-tempered. Do you know spirits are transferable? Hello? Now you may be married to a hot-tempered person. Well, in that situation, you have to be praying for them.
Yes.
Be praying for them. The scripture says in Proverbs 13 in verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How many of you know how many people get in trouble because of the people they associate with?
Amen.
Notice this works in the positive and it works in the negative. Because associate with wise people, you become wise. Associate with fools, you can get in trouble. You've got to be selective with whom you choose to spend time with. Because you're going to catch what they have. How many of you know when the 10 men came back from spying out the promised land, Moses sent them in to spy out the promised land. 10 spies, they came back and they said, Moses, we don't have a chance. We cannot take the land. The people are huge. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities in the land. We will never be able to defeat them. The amazing thing is God had already promised them the victory. God had already said, go take the land. I've given it to you. But this negative report from 10 people began to spread throughout the camp. And before long, all 2 million of the Israelites were afraid. They said, Moses, we've got to go back to Egypt. Let's go back to being slaves. We're going to die here in the wilderness. They were next door to the promised land. They turned around and they wandered in the desert for 40 years. They never did make it into the promised land. Do you know the wrong people can talk you out of your dreams?
Yeah.
Don't surround yourself with naysayers and people that tell you what you can't become.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to do that. You'll never start your own business. You'll never break that addiction. You'll never get your degree. You're never going to meet the right person. Listen, they don't know what's in you. They don't control your destiny. And some of you have dreams that are lying dormant on the inside of you because the people around you are negative. They've accepted mediocrity. Now that's rubbed off on you. But the good news is those dreams are still alive. And if you will change who you're spending time with and get around people who are full of faith, get around people who see your potential, get around people that call out your seeds of greatness, then you're going to step up to a new level and you'll see those dreams come to pass.
Carmel Wednesday night in our connect group. I find the people in my connect group, they encourage me. They build me up. If you said, Pastor Steve, I don't really have anyone who can build me up. Yes, you do. You've got a whole room full of people right here today. These people are to build you up. Amen. That's why you're going to go to connect group. After service on a Sunday. I mean, it's like a racetrack getting out here. I've never seen a building empty so fast in all my life. It's like service is over. What's the hurry? Why don't you stop and meet somebody? Say hi to somebody. Befriend somebody. Say, let's go to lunch sometime. Well, this is your family. And I want you to know these people are full of faith to encourage you, to build you up, to speak life over you. Amen. People racing out of church to go be with people going to bring them down everything they just heard in church. You've got to be firm about who you're letting feed you. I mean, listen, I'm nice to everybody. I'm known as Mr. Nice Guy. I smile at people. But let me tell you, if you're negative, I'll smile at you while I'm waving goodbye. I don't like to hang around with people who are negative. Someone compromised. They don't have integrity. Running around on their spouse. I'll be friendly, but I'm not going to hang around with those people.
Right.
I want someone who's feeding me excellence. I want someone who's feeding me integrity, faith, hope. Someone who's inspiring me. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Listen, as I'm coming to a close here, but in Mark chapter 8, they brought a blind man to Jesus. In verse 22, it says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. And they begged him to touch the man and heal him. And Jesus took the blind man by the hand. And he led him out of the village. And then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and he said, can you see anything now? And the man said, yes. He said, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They're like trees walking around. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. And his eyes were opened. And his sight was completely restored and he could see everything clearly. And Jesus sent him away and said, don't go back into the village on your way home. That's interesting to me. Notice that Jesus took him out of the village before he prayed for him. Took him out of the village. And then he said, when you go home, don't go back to that village. Why did Jesus take him out of town? He's God. He could have healed him anywhere. And then why did Jesus tell him, don't go back into your village? You know? Maybe because this blind man was in a negative environment, surrounded by people who had accepted mediocrity. Maybe they would have said, you really think you're going to get well? You've been blind your whole life. Jesus had to take him out of town so that he wouldn't get talked out of his miracle. Do you know how many people have been talked out of their blessing, out of their miracle, because they listened to somebody else? Jesus did a similar thing when he went to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. In Mark chapter 5, verse 35. It says, while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. And it says, Jesus stopped the crowd. He wouldn't let anyone go with him. Notice this. He wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. He took just Peter, James, and John. And when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. And he went inside and he said, why is all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. And the crowd laughed at him. What did he do? He made them all leave. He put them all out. Look, he made them all leave. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. And holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha Kurim, which means little girl, get up. And the little girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around, and they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Now, listen. Sometimes you've got to get out of the negative environment if you're going to see God's favor in a new way in your life. See, because the people who knew you back then will try and keep you in the same box. They've had you in that box since you were growing up. The problem is, you're not the same person.
They're trying to feed your history, and God is ready to feed your future and your destiny. It's time to break out of that box, family. Don't let the limitations of those around you hold you down. You are made for more. You have new levels within you. God has good plans for you. There are seeds of greatness waiting to spring forth in your life. And you may have had some disappointments in the past. But I want to tell you, this is a new day. And God's about to release His favor in your life in a new way. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you, chains that have held you back, they are being broken. Doors are going to open that you never dreamed would open. You're going to do your part. What's that? Keep feeding your faith. Keep feeding your hopes. Keep feeding your dreams. Stay on your diet. No more feeding down, negativity, compromise. No more mourning over what didn't work out. Don't use your energy to feed your history. Use your energy to feed your destiny, family. Because if you do this, I believe you're about to come into Jesse's house. I believe you're about to see new levels, new opportunities, new relationships, the fullness of your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I declare it over you today. If you receive it, give the Lord a hand of praise today. Praise God. Did you get something out of this morning?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I'm glad you did, because I sure did. I preached myself happy today. Praise God. Say, I'm not feeding my history. I'm feeding my destiny. Say, I'm letting go of what is behind. And I'm pressing forward to what God has ahead. Say, I'm going to protect what I think about. Say, I'm going to protect who I surround myself with. I am saying this, I'm going to feed my faith with what God says about me. Because I am who God says I am. Say, I can do everything God says I can do. And I will become everything God destined me to become. In the name of Jesus. Say, this is a new day. God's giving me beauty for ashes. Amen. Praise God. Stephen, it's good to see you here today. You are my heart. I've been praying for you. Seriously. I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I'm glad to see Bill and Caitlin. I'm glad to see you here today. I missed you. Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I want to ask you just for a moment. Would you bow your head? And would you just close your eyes? Because I want to pray right now while we have our heads bowed. Well, right now while we have our eyes closed, I want to pray for anyone here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God, you say, Pastor Steve, I've heard about Jesus, but I don't feel like I really know Him. I want to ask you a question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know for sure? You have no doubt. If you died today, you know you'd go to heaven. Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. But I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you, if you died today, are you absolutely certain of where you would spend eternity? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can be certain about it. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven that awaits us. There is a heaven to gain. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you, dear friend. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right now, this is between you and God. While we have our eyes closed, while we have our heads bowed, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're going to pray. Because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure all is right, all is well with me and the Lord. Won't you pray for me? If that's you, dear friend, if you want to be included in this prayer, if you want me to pray for you, I want you right now quickly to slip your hand up high in the name of Jesus. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. All right. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I want to ask you, please, say this prayer with me. Say this prayer from your heart. In fact, church, let's all say this prayer together. Everybody, say,
Dear God,
I thank you that you love me so much that you sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to take my sin, my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. I would be your child. So I do this today. Say, I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for me. You took my sin. And you've been raised from the dead. You are alive. And I surrender my life to you. Say this, I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. That means from today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. And I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Praise God. I want to thank you for inviting someone to come to church with you today. That's how we reach people. That's how we see people be brought into the kingdom of God. Is you invite them, bring them to church. I preach the gospel to them, and they give their life to Jesus, right? So thank you for inviting people. If you raised your hand, in a few minutes we're going to be closing the service. I'm going to ask you, if you lifted up your hand, please remain seated where you are just for a couple of minutes, because we have volunteers in our church that saw you lift your hand. They're going to come to you. We have a gift we want to give you before you go home today. So thank you for just remaining seated for a couple of minutes. They'll get to you. Praise God. Now, I have a couple of things I want to mention to you. Before I do, I'm going to invite my wife to come up. It is a time in the service where we worship and honor God with our tithes and with our offerings today. Amen. Does anyone here believe in giving? Anyone here believe in tithing? Let me tell you, I started tithing when I was 17 years old. I'm 53. So how many years is that?
A lot.
36 years ago, I started tithing. And I've seen all kinds of comments over the years. People that are anti-tithing. I sometimes see on Facebook people that condemn and mock people who believe in giving. Let me tell you, I believe the Word of God is true. And let me tell you, God loves cheerful givers. God delights in people who love to give. And in 36 years, the Lord has been good and faithful to me. He's never let me down. The windows of heaven, I've lived under open windows of heaven, and God has blessed me. And I'm convinced it's because I've been tithing since I was 17 years old, my very first job. And so today, we honor the Lord as we give. Amen?
Amen. I second everything you say. On your seat, there are envelopes. As many of you regulars know, there are various ways to give. One of my favorites is text giving. It's really easy. It'll come up on the screen, I'm sure, with the number. Thank you. And I was reading the book of Nehemiah this week for some reason. I read the whole book of Nehemiah, and two verses jumped out at me. And I just want to share them with you today. Well, a lot of verses jumped out at me, but concerning the offering. And in Nehemiah 10, verse 37, they said this. They said, "We will store the produce in the storerooms of the temple of our God, We will bring the best of our flour and our other grain offerings, the best of our fruit, the best of our new wine and olive oil. And we promise to bring the Levites a tenth of everything our land produces, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our rural towns. In verse 39, the people and the Levites must bring these offerings of grain, new wine, and olive oil to the storerooms and place them in the sacred containers near the ministering priests, the gatekeepers, and the singers. We promise together not to neglect the temple of our God. Now, a few things jumped out, just three things in particular. First of all, they said, we promise to bring. And this speaks of commitment. It was a commitment. We are promising that we are going to support the house of God. And I just love that because, you know, it talks about faithfulness. And what does that look like?
Yeah.
Faithfulness is really consistency. It's commitment. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You know, we do something, we have online giving, and they have something called recurring giving. And if you have a regular amount that you earn, then it's easy to set up recurring giving. You know, the opposite of that, what it doesn't look like, is like if I don't go to church, I don't tithe.
Yeah.
Don't raise your hand if that's you, right? There's so many faithful people in this church, but I think of one couple in particular, and they're not here today. It's Tom and Christine Taylor. They often are away. They travel more than they are in church because for business, and they have family in New York, and they're partly there and partly here. But one thing I know is that they are consistent to tithe online. And we see their giving every single week. It comes through. It's consistency. So that's a promise to give us. Notice that in there. And the next thing that I noticed that says we will bring the best of our wine, the best of our fruit, the best of our, whatever our land produces, right? And it's like bringing the first and not the leftovers. You know what the best looks like, right? It's not the afterthought.
Yeah.
You know, in Malachi, we always read Malachi 3 when it comes to giving. But it really starts in chapter 1. And God rebuked them because he said to the children of Israel, he said, I'm not happy with you. And they said, why not? Like they were surprised. And he said, because you don't bring the best of your flocks as offering. You bring the lame, the blind, the sick. Basically, you bring me, it's like, that's got no use to me. I'm going to give you what I don't really want. He said you wouldn't give it to your governor, right? I'll just read a couple of verses from Malachi 1. He says, God says, I'm honored all over the world. And there are people who know how to worship me all over the world, who honor me by bringing their best to me. They're saying it everywhere. God is greater, this God of the angel armies, all except you. Instead of honoring me, you profane me. You profane me when you say worship is not important and what we bring to worship is of no account. And when you say, I'm bored, this doesn't do anything for me. That was funny to me because people come and go, what am I going to get out of this, right? You know, he says, you act so superior, sticking your noses in the air. Did you lose me? Let me just see. Okay, let's go on. Act superior to me, God of the angel armies. And when you do offer something to me, it's a hand-me-down or broken or useless. You think I'm going to accept it? This is God speaking to you. A curse on the person who makes a big show of doing something great for me, an expensive sacrifice, say, and then at the last minute brings in something puny and worthless. I'm a great king, God of the angel armies, honored far and wide, and I'll not put up with it. It's kind of straight to the point, right? They're like, God, what do we do wrong? And he told them. He's like, don't think it's not important by just giving me leftovers, right? So, and then another thing he says, we promise, and then they say we're going to bring the best. And then lastly he says, we promise to bring the tenth. God is really specific about the amount we bring. It's easy. It's 10%. It's all through the Bible. It's very clear. It's the first of what we have. And it's a test. The number 10 all throughout the Bible is the number of testing. There were 10 commandments. In the New Testament, there were 10 virgins. 5 filled their lamps with oil, 5 didn't. It was a testing. And God tests us when it comes to the tent, right? And I love, lastly, I love in verse 39, it ends with this. It says, we promise together not to neglect the temple of God, not to neglect the house of God. Family, let's be like that. Let's put God's house as a priority in our life. It has eternal consequences, eternal ramifications for people to come into the kingdom of God and for the rewards that we have for the things we've done for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you ready to give?
Yes.
We take this seriously.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not really about money. It's really about our heart attitude towards God. It's really about worshiping God with everything we have and everything we are. Amen? So as we prepare to give, let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for everything you blessed us with this week. I thank you, Father, that you are our provider. You are El Shaddai. You are more than enough. Father, I pray for every person right here as they step out in faith and tithe and give and honor you. I thank you, Father, that your word is true in their life, that you open doors that no man can shut. Father, that you give them opportunities and blessings and contracts that go beyond the realm of, beyond their imagination, that people turn and look and say, how did you ever make that happen? Because your hand of favor rests upon them as they honor you, Father. We thank you for it in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, dear. Can you want to add to that? I've got two announcements. Can I do them after? Okay, two quick announcements. Isabel, won't you raise your hand? Isabel Airy called me this week, and she was in touch with a lady who is offering free mammograms for any woman over 45, as long as there are 20 people. And so Isabel will be in the lobby. If you're over 45, ladies, and you would like to get a free mammogram, please go and put your name down, because that will be a real, it's a real blessing. And then secondly, we have the lunch club today. We're going over to Thai Lotus. That's over in the Staples, the Stable Center, right?
Across the street.
Next to the movies.
It's across the street in that plaza.
As you drive out of church and there's McDonald's in front of you, go straight in there. Thai Lotus is there. We'll be there directly after service. Right.
Right, the Thai Lotus. We went there last time. I enjoyed it and it was cheap too.
Yeah.
Lunch for under $10. That's not too bad. I want everyone to be able to come. You're welcome to join us. I want to just mention, I want to say thank you to everyone who's given toward our new building. Praise God. For those of you who don't know, we were trusting God. We needed $75,000 down payment, and the Lord is faithful. Thank you to everyone who gave. We have that. We paid that $75,000, and that's, you know, just... I want to let you know that we're not finished yet, because we are closing on the building on January 1st. There's closing costs involved. We also are saving toward the build out. We're going to be doing a lot of renovation in the building and extending the bathrooms and a lot of different things. It's probably going to cost $150,000, between $100,000 and $150,000. So I just want to let you know to thank you to continue giving. We'll be in there soon. We'll have it all done soon. But we're trusting God. Are you believing with us?
Yeah.
We'll be in that building soon. Now, whenever I talk about the building, you can put a picture up in the future. Whenever I talk about the building, have it ready every week. And I'll be talking about it every week. Have a picture up there. Those of you know, our new building is on Indian Town Road. We've purchased the building that the Girl Scouts have leased for 15 years, and we've purchased that. Then I want to also mention to you before you go home today that we are starting the last Christian Growth Seminar of the year. The Christian Growth Seminar is a Bible study class that I teach. We start on Tuesday, November the 7th. And if you have not signed up for the Christian Growth Seminar, if you've never done the Christian Growth Seminar, I highly recommend you to do it. It is a life-changing class. You need to register for it. It's a free class, but all you have to do is raise your hand and one of our ushers will give you a sign-up card so we know to expect you. If you have not done the Christian Growth Seminar, your hand should be up in the air. You need to come and do that class. If you haven't signed up, sign up for it. We're looking forward to it. And we even have some people who are going to come and do the class a second time. They enjoyed it so much the first time, they want to come back for a refresher. And you're welcome to do that if you would like to. As my wife mentioned, thank you for everyone who came to pray before the service. We prayed from 9:15 to 9:45. I was the only man in the room praying. I was surrounded by women. I'm calling on our men to step up and pray. We need some men to come and pray. Not just the women, the men need to come and pray. Come and join us for prayer, men of God. And then I want to thank all of our volunteers who served today. We appreciate you very much, don't we? Thank you to our setup team and our breakdown team, all our volunteers. And I mentioned it last week, we are asking for some extra volunteers to help with setup. We didn't have anybody come forward and volunteer to set up last week, so I'm going to mention it again. If you would come and see me, or you could come and speak to Miguel over there. I don't know if you know Miguel. Run out here real quick. You can talk to Miguel. You can talk to James. James in the back. She said, I am willing to volunteer to set up, even if you can just help us one time in a month. That would be great if we had some extra volunteers so we don't have the same people that's doing it every single week. Be sure to hand in that Christian Growth sign-up card if you filled it out. And everyone on your seat, you have your invited card. I want you to hold that in your hand. We're going to pray over this. Hold it in your hand. Say this with me before we go. Say, thank you, Lord, that you have called me to reach others for you. You want